We're just 3 days away from Election Day, with city, county, state, and a couple of House races across the Upper Cumberland that are set to be decided. Today, we'll crisscross the region and try to give you the chance to meet the candidates who want to represent you. Our first stop is Allgood, where Ron Graves, Luke Hill, Tim McPherson, and Roger Williams are vying for two spots on the Allgood City Council. As we head to the polls in Allgood, Luke Hill is one of the candidates looking for your vote as we elect new members of the council. Luke, what are you most proud of in the work that you have done with the council to this point?
Well, Larry, let me start by saying thanks for the discussion. You know, the main thing that I think I can look back and on my time on the council and just say, you know, we brought stability to the council and to the city. We invested in the people that make the city run, our workers, our city manager, and just we brought a sense of stability and reinvestment in the people that make our city great. That's our employees.
You look at Allgood situation right now, you're seeing a lot of, really exponential growth in terms of commercial retail developments in the community, a lot of restaurants opening. You're seeing more and more homes being built. How is the city equipped to deal with that growth?
Absolutely. I mean, the first starting spot is a good city manager that can help, meet the infrastructure needs that we have to meet when we have these new restaurants and new businesses coming to our community, which is just such a great thing. You know, we got a new Waffle House coming. That's exciting. New oil change place coming up here on the main drag. And we've got to make sure that our roads and our city streets can handle the increased capacity and also help, incentivize other companies, other restaurants and businesses to relocate to Allgood. Allgood's a great town. Great town. We need to get more businesses like our pizza shop and our coffee shop down here on the main street. And I think we're seeing it. So it's a good problem to have.
I guess one of the challenges of growth, and this has been expressed at several council meetings, is that as you grow, as more people come into town, they may want some different services. They may want different things in a park, for example. How do you try to manage those wants with what the city can afford?
Absolutely. You know, if you don't, have the money to do these things, you can't be doing it. So we need to be fiscally sound and look at where we can maybe cut some things if need to be but we need to just budget for the items that we need for infrastructure, like our park. You know, we had big plans for the park, many years ago, and we're just kind of take it in bite-sized chunks as we can. I wish we could do it all in one fell swoop, but we're budgeting for the things that we can do. Got a new little dog park section going for the park, and just taking it as we can based upon what our citizens are telling us they want to see. And the dog park is an example. They say, hey, we want a place where we can let our dogs run, and we're putting that up actively.
A lot of people worry about the PT phrase, property taxes. How do you try to make not a decision specifically of whether it's time to raise it, but more specifically, how do you try to address monetary issues as you look at it based on your experiences, not only on the council, but also on your personal experiences?
Yeah, just live within your means and, don't get too extravagant on the spending and plan as best as you can for the future. We've got some big infrastructure, new equipment that we've got a budget for in the next, 2 to 5 years. We look to Keith Morrison to kind of help us identify what those items are, and maybe we don't need the fanciest tool in the shed, but do with what we can and budget as best as we can, plan for it, and spend it when that time comes.
One of the issues that has been primary during the last year is the role of Mr. Morrison, and for those that don't know you, and there are always people moving in, a little about your background. What prepared you for this role?
Got appointed to the council about 6 years ago. Just there was an opening and was new to the community. Kind of felt like I could provide an outside opinion, outside voice to the city. It's all good. It's a wonderful community. There was an opening, so I put my name in the as a candidate and was selected, and then was elected 4 years ago. And things have been going great. I think that we've got a great council right now, and we just want to continue the stability of the city, continue to provide the services that the people want, and govern as best as we can. So hoping for another smooth 4 years and just continue the stability that we seemingly have at the moment.
Finally, Luke, as people go into the booth there and make their decision, why should they cast one of their ballots for Luke Hill?
Again, I hate to go back to just the word stability, but I think right now we've got a good, diverse council, and that diverse opinions and personalities has led to the stability that we have. I firmly believe, city government should be boring and predictable, and I think we've achieved that, and that's what's best, in my opinion, is that we can be accountable, but predictable and boring, and that leads to stability.
One of the candidates that wants your vote in Allgood is Luke Hill. Luke, thank you for your service, and thank you for your time.
Absolutely. Larry, appreciate the time.
Seats available on the Allgood Council when we head to the polls. One of those that would like your vote is Tim McPherson, and he joins us now. Tim, thank you for spending some time with us.
Thank you for having me.
Why are you running for council?
Well, because I want Allgood to have that small town feeling like when I grew up here, but I want Allgood to continue to grow as it has in the last decade or two. We're starting to become quite the developing smaller city, and I really think that we need to get ahead of some infrastructure and some of our basic needs that a growing city has. But I want to maintain that feeling that I grew up with, that, Allgood is a special place to grow up, and I want that for my kids and their kids and everybody's kids.
What infrastructure problems worry you the most?
I think everybody knows that, the roads could be improved upon. We do have snarls of traffic as 10th Street in Cookeville becomes Main Street in Allgood. That area is very snarled up, and if we could maybe steer development maybe away from that corridor to maybe one of the other, there are nine roads that lead into Allgood. And, I don't understand why all the development has to be just in the one area. We've got so much land that's open for development, and as 111, circles the city, there are several different, roads that would be perfect for development. We could spread out there. Something I've liked to focus on is the concept of submerged power lines. I think that a lot of cities are going to that, where they don't have, all these crisscross of, spider web of wires hanging over everybody, just waiting for an ice storm or a tornado to come and take them down. I really think that that's one thing that the city of Allgood could look into, of future development having those lines be submerged instead of, above ground, and then maybe retrofitting the rest of the city. I think that would help out, one, with beautification of the city and with development. So, just some things like that. And, of course, our sewage system, as we've annexed and added parts onto the city that are a little bit further away from the traditional, area that was traditionally Allgood, some of those other, parts, the sewage has to be maintained or added and maintained and improved. So we definitely have areas that we could look into, in the future with our infrastructure development.
there's a push pull when you're growing between people wanting more services, and then there's the tax rate. And the mayor said during this last budget preparation that it may be time for the city to look at that. I'm not asking you to go on the line and say you want to raise taxes. That's not the point. The point is, though, how do you manage wants and needs, maybe your experiences in your own life and your business life? How do you try to look at those kinds of things?
Well, that's a very good question. And it may be that we may need to look at maybe an increase, but I would really hope that we would not. I think if we just, apply some, fiscal responsibilities and, making sure that, every tax dollar that we collect is a tax dollar that's being spent to improve the lives of the citizens of All Good, trying to eliminate waste, trying to make sure that everything runs efficiently, oversight of departments to ensure that, can help cut costs, which means that we don't have to raise those tax rates. But there is, we do have to pay for it. People want, improvements, and we all want those improvements, and we do have to pay for those. So it is a give and take, like you said. But I think, with the proper studying to identify, areas that could be, worked on, and with getting in front of problems instead of trying to catch up to them, that's what I would like to do as city council, is to never be behind the problem, to always be in front of it, and that way problems don't become problems.
Tim McPherson, what do people get if they cast one of their ballots for you for council?
Well, I grew up in All Good, like I said, and I really know the people, and I want All Good to continue to be the best that it can be. And I will always be just a phone call away from anybody who needs to speak with me. And really want to put the citizens of All Good first. And that's what I plan to do.
He's one of the candidates for All Good Council as you head to the voting booth here in just a couple of days, Tim McPherson. Thank you for the time today.
Thank you, sir.
Giving you the chance to meet those who want to represent you in local government. Our next stop is Monterey, where Jeremiah Bowman and Alex Garcia are squaring off in the race for mayor. Alex Garcia is one of those who is asking for your vote. He is running for mayor of Monterey. Alex, thanks for spending some time with us.
Thank you.
Why did you decide to pursue the run for mayor?
Well, I've been an alderman in Monterey for a couple of years now, and I almost ran 2 years ago. Nathan Walker and I had a conversation, and we decided that he would run. And of course, we all know what happened there. So I just felt that, I think it was time for me to run and try to represent Monterey, outside of Monterey mostly, just in Putnam County and make sure that Monterey's voice is heard at other meetings.
We'll come back to that because that's an interesting point. I'm interested in what kind of learning experience has it been in serving as an alderman?
Well, I've always been in a leadership role. Whatever I've been doing in my life, whether it be starting with car clubs, starting with being a manager at a multi-million-dollar company, even, owning my own businesses, which I have now. So what I've learned, I guess, in the politic realm, is that you can't please everyone, but you have to do what's best for the town.
You sometimes hear people who are in business say, wow, government they don't operate like a business. Have you tried in your decision-making, in your looking at things, to try to bring that sensibility to the table?
Well, in my opinion, the city is a business. It's a little bit different than a private business because we're using tax dollars and we have to answer to our citizens. But it does have to run as a business. Now, can you do that all the time? Probably not. But you have to try. I mean, everything has an ROI. So if you're going after something or if you want to do something, you need to know what that return on investment is, or else maybe you don't need to do it.
This year was challenging in terms of the budget, of trying to get the budget done as more and more growth, more and more needs, and trying to keep the tax rate where it needs to be. How do you look at those things? Not asking you specifically to analyze this budget, but just in general, how do you try to analyze wants versus needs versus money?
Well, I mean, everybody's going to want something. If you put it up to somebody, if you put it up to all the department heads or the employees, they're all going to want something. But what you have to keep in mind is that we're not spending our own money. We're spending the taxpayers' money. So you can't give everybody what they want. You have to look back and see, do we need it? Can we source it in a different way? Is it something that we can do or absolutely not? And those are some of the questions we had to ask this year.
How important is trying to match what a community of a much bigger size in Cookeville or Putnam County, or even in your case, Crossville in Cumberland County, in terms of salaries? How big of an emphasis is that when you serve as the alderman and, of course, now that you're running for mayor?
Well, you always have to be competitive, or else you're going to lose your people to somebody else. I don't know that we have to be as competitive, as Cookeville. They're a much bigger city than we are. Even Allgood or Baxter or Crossville, there's not really a city around us that we can compare ourselves to. But we do try to treat our employees the right way.
Alex Garcia is one of the candidates for mayor of Monterey as we meet the candidates. You mentioned the voice of Monterey, and how important is that to making sure that Monterey is heard when it comes to Allgood, Baxter, Cookeville, and the county overall?
I think it's very important. We're on the east side of the county. Some people say that sometimes we're forgotten. I've heard that we're the redheaded stepchild. I think Randy Porter and I have a good relationship. I want to go to more meetings as the mayor, if that comes about. I want the mayor of Monterey to represent Monterey at Putnam County meetings, or even Baxter or Allgood. I want to be in all those talks with people if things are going on. I want Monterey to be involved.
What have the people told you as you've got out and visited and shook hands and done all of that you do in terms of politics? What are they talking about?
I hear it all. I mean, even today I heard, that we need to clean up Monterey a little bit more. That's all in the works. We don't have we cannot get someone to fill that position of building inspector or, codes guy. We do desperately need a couple of things done here in Monterey, but we have to do them right, and we're continuing to try and get somebody to fill that position so we can get those things done. I've heard, that Monterey is moving forward in a good direction, and we are. I think that for the past 2 years, as a board, we've moved forward. We've got a lot of projects in the works that are not being done just yet, but they are planned to be done. Black Bottom Field is being done right now, and it will be a multi-use field. So we're now going to have softball and soccer. That parking lot will be paved as well. We're in negotiations with Putnam County to redo the concessions. I think Monterey is moving forward.
Finally, Alex Garcia, when someone walks into the polls, why should they cast their ballot for you?
I'm going to say, you know, I've been in Monterey 18 years. I own a business in Monterey. My wife owns a business in Monterey. We own property in Monterey. I work for the Putnam County Schools in Monterey. I am invested in Monterey, and, you know, I continue to be invested in Monterey, and I don't have any plans of going anywhere. So, you know, I have Monterey's best interests in my sights.
Alex Garcia, candidate for Monterey mayor. Thank you for the time.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thursday's election will feature those who want to represent District 43. This is the Republican primary this week. Tim Lewis, Robert McCormick, and the incumbent Paul Sherrill are on the ballot. Today, our chance to sit down with Tim Lewis. Tim, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
A lot of us have thought about putting our hat in the ring, so to speak. Why did you decide to do it?
Well, I just figured that, you know, like the old saying goes, if you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. And I figured that nobody else was going to do it, so I might as well try.
A little bit about your background. What do you do in your work life, and how long have you lived in this area?
Well, I've lived in Warren County now for 24 years. I work at a factory called Dometic in Sparta, Tennessee. And I'm a lead out there, and I've held lead positions in pretty much every job I've ever had. Usually only about 10 to 15 people are under me at any one time, but I've had supervisor's positions where I've had literally 50.
How does that leadership in that realm, how do you feel like that translates over to politics and going to Nashville and leading in that way?
Well, I feel like it gives me a good indication of how regular people feel about politics in Nashville. It's not a great, well, people aren't happy, you know what I mean? Not with the federal government, and a lot of people aren't happy with their state representatives. We are lucky enough, though, that in my district, it overlaps with Senator Janice Bowling. And she's an amazing senator. And I feel like if I could, follow in her footsteps and work with her, we could get a lot of good stuff done for District 43.
When you talk to people, what are they unhappy about?
Well, I think people are unhappy about giving, like, tax breaks to companies like Jack Daniels that aren't even, that are in the state, but they're not in this area. And plus, I mean, they have their businesses down, I forget the name, Lynchburg. And, but their, I think their corporation is out of the state. I think it's in Kentucky. And I think the huge tax breaks for that were, people were upset about. I think people were upset about the money that was given to Ford. nearly a billion dollars.
There also seems to be some unrest about kind of the growing fingerprints of state government into local issues. And obviously education is one of those areas where that seems to be happening. Have you heard that from people?
I have. People are not happy about the tests and how they're scoring that. They're not happy with the way the state wants to just take over schooling, basically, with testing and with, making it for teachers tied to their salaries or for their raises or their just job performance in general. I think we've got a lot of great teachers, especially here in Warren and White counties. And I just think that the state could back off a little bit and let us take care of our own.
Tim Lewis is a candidate for office as we approach Election Day. One of the things that's always interesting when it comes to state politics is how do you get the rural voice heard when you're competing with Nashville, when you're competing with Memphis, even Knoxville to some degree? How do you see that? How do you try to make sure that the rural population gets their opinions heard?
Well, I mean, you've got to be a good leader. You've got to be able to work well with other lawmakers. I think that having the trust of other lawmakers will help you out in getting laws passed and getting the word from, you know, the local community all the way through to laws that are passed in the state.
Do you feel like the rural communities have maybe some separate items on their agenda versus the major cities of the state?
I'm sure, yes. Farming is one of them. I mean, it's something we deal with in our community, but, you know, Memphis doesn't have to deal with it, and Nashville, it's not really a big part of their thing either. I think that, you know, the local farmers and you know, just regular people around here.
Tim, are there issues that are that you're passionate about that you really want to see addressed in Nashville?
Yeah, I would like to see something done for the state about illegal immigration. I think that you know, federally closing the borders would be optimal. I mean, that's what we all want, I think. But we could do stuff in the state to mitigate a lot of illegal immigration, you know, not giving them money, not subsidizing, you know, with free housing or with, you know, low cost housing, especially for illegal immigrants, like I'm talking about, not giving them food stamps and stuff like this that encourages them to break the law to come here. And I just think if you turn off the money tap, they'll either stay home or they'll go somewhere else.
What has this experience been like for you?
Well, it's been an amazing experience overall. I mean, win or lose, it's gotten me out into the community more, and it's been really amazing to meet all the people that I have just since this campaign started. I mean, I've been here 24 years, but I think I've met nearly all of Warren County and probably half of White since I started running. So it's been a great experience. I've loved getting out and meeting the people.
Here's your platform. Why should people vote for you when they head into that in that room and close the curtain?
Because I know what it's like to live a regular life. I'm not a business owner with millions of dollars in my pocket. I'm not an already politician who's taken, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in campaign contributions from, you know, corporations and lobbyists. I'm one of you that, you know, that wants to go and make a difference for us.
Tim Lewis is one of the candidates who wants your vote when you head to the polls on August 1st. He is a Republican running in the District 43 Tennessee House primary. Tim, thanks for the chance to get to know you, and good luck on Election Day.
Thank you, sir. You have a great day.
The Clay County School Board features elections Thursday in both District 1 and District 4. Today we focus on District 4 with Benji Bailey and Vonda Weir squaring off for that potential seat. Benji, why did you decide to run again for the school board?
Well, Larry, it's just something that we've taken a lot of pride in. We've been able to accomplish a lot of things in the last several years that I've been on the board. But there are still things undone as well. We've got some projects going on. We'd like to see those completed. I still have school-age children as well, so it's personally important to me, first and foremost. But again, there's still things that need our attention that we've been involved with that we'd like to see through.
What are you most proud of in the work that the school system and the school board has done over the last couple of years?
I think over the last couple of years, we've been able to use the additional funding that we've received from the federal government wisely to alleviate the burden off of our school system for big ticket items that we often don't get to address in our normal budget. So we've been able to use that money wisely to benefit the children for years to come, and also again take a burden off our local taxpayers. And so it's something that that we're proud of, that we spent a lot of time thinking about, a lot of time planning with, and our administration has done a very good job with it. And as a school board, we're just there to help.
Sometimes I think, and this is not a Clay County specific question, but I think that sometimes there's confusion about what the role of a school board is and the members that serve. How do you see that role?
Well, first and foremost, we pass a budget, so we're responsible for passing the budget that we operate on annually. We have to track that as well and make sure that everything is as it should be from a budgetary standpoint. And then, additionally, we hire a director. So we haven't had to do that in a few years. We're thankful for that. We're thankful for Ms. Monroe and the job that she's doing. And then finally, we set policy. So we get a lot of assistance from other organizations to help us with that. We're mindful of the current environment that we're operating in, but still we want to be mindful to represent the best needs of students in Clay County and their parents as well.
You have also served in a leadership role in your time on the school board. How do you try to work toward consensus on issues in that role?
Well, I think that's very important. You know, we have 10 members on our school board, and it's very important that we all work together. In times past, we've been split on different items, but the last several years, we've worked very hard to work together. And instead of, you know, worrying about the differences, we come together to work together so that more can be done for the betterment of our children. And it just works a lot better that way, and when everybody's pulling in the same direction. So I think that's a very important role for the chairman, or honestly any member on the board, just to be willing to work with each other. And we've done that last several years, so it's been very nice.
Benji Bailey is the candidate for District 4. In Clay County. You're also obviously having to work with other bodies, for example, the county commissioners. And so communication, how key is that to being an effective school board member?
I think that's a very large part of it, Larry. We, as a school board, one of the things that you don't control whatsoever is your funding. And we rely on our county, on state government, and on the federal government for all of that. So we must work with our county to properly plan, to properly budget, and be mindful that there are a lot of things on the county commission's agenda as well. And so we've seen in the last few years that it works better if everything's in order on our side, and that helps take some of the burden off the decisions for the commissioners. But again, being open with it, letting them know the funding requirements that we will have, the big ticket items that we have coming up, our plans, our processes, is very important, so that everybody's in the loop and understands what needs to be done.
To that point, Benji Bailey, as you kind of look down the road 5 years, 10 years at the Clay County School System, what are the things that you think the next school board, the next two or three school boards, are going to need to look at and address?
Well, as always, it's very important for us in a small school system to maintain our facilities. With the cost of building a school these days, it's almost off the table for us to be able to fund a new facility in our county. So we have to always be mindful of the upkeep of the facilities that we have. Again, we've been able to do a lot of that, but as always, when you have the buildings and the age that we have, there's always going to be things that need attention. So we'll be mindful of that. I think also, just from an operations standpoint, we've been involved in several federal programs, several state programs in the last few years that have been funded from those agencies. So we'll have to take a look at those and see what's working, what's not, where we need to spend our money, where we need to spend our resources, and where we need to put our people in the best place to make the biggest, most positive impact for our students, for, again, our parents, and for our faculty. So I think in the next couple years, that will be something that we'll have to pay a lot of attention to, making sure that we're spending our time and our resources in a place that's going to get success.
Finally, Benji, what's your message to voters? Why should they cast one of their ballots for you?
Well, it's been an honor serving, and I just look forward to being able to serve in that role again on the school board. There's not a lot of folks interested in it. It's not a job that gets you a lot of praise, and so that's not why we're doing it. We're doing it for the interest of our children and the future of our county and our community. So that's where my heart's at, and that's what I'm looking to do.
Benji Bailey, candidate in District 4, as we head to the polls to vote for the Clay County School Board. Benji, thank you for the time.
Yes, sir, Larry. Thank you.
Vonda Weir declined to participate in Meet the Candidates. The countdown underway to August Election Day across the Upper Cumberland and across the state. One of the races that we will watch on Thursday night is in the U.S. House District 4. It's the Republican primary, featuring Scott Desjarlais and Thomas Davis. Residents in the southern portion of the Upper Cumberland will be voting on that particular race. Don't forget, Thursday night, the first place to get the results is right here as we bring you results from across the Upper Cumberland in races for city and county seats, as well as those in the state and the U.S. Congress. We'll have complete election coverage for you Thursday night right here.